Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome, Lepa. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful James Corwell. James, are you ready to do this?
Let's do it, George. Great to be here.
Yeah, let's go. James is a certified master chef. In fact, one of only 70 of those in the world. He's the co-founder of Ocean Hugger Foods, the managing partner of Farm to Plate and Blue Dot Foods. He's working to end hunger in our lifetimes. James, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, personal life is being at home and grounded as much as possible with the family and the kids and myself. Don't want to forget that. And I play in the plant-based food field. More than play, it's my dedication, it's my life. And whether it's meat or seafood or putting together new products for food service retail, anything that helps advance plant-based foods for the betterment of humans and the world is my passion.
Well, I appreciate that. So obviously, well, I hope, James, that you are passionate about food and cooking and all of that that motivated you to go down the path of becoming a certified master chef. But walk us through that. Has that always been a passion of yours? Did your folks cook?
You know, you would hope. My mother was a terrible cook, which is probably why I had to learn to cook, because I had to feed myself. But that said, it fit me very physically. You know, mentally, I love the pace. Physically, I love the pace. The crafting of food using knives and meat was something that always appealed to me. So, you know, I'm probably the poster child for somebody going into the culinary arts. But that said, I knew I wanted to compete at an early age, and I did that and traveled the world, and knew I wanted to become an executive chef, and I did that and traveled the world. And then knew I wanted to become a master chef, and did that and traveled the world. And then I thought that, you know, how great it would be to go into manufacturing, but do it my way, with my own thumbprint on it. So that's when Ocean Hugger Foods came about and tomato sushi, and did that. And I've since sold the majority of that company and are now helping other companies, including myself, launch other products in the market. You know, there's a bit of an onion peel as you spend over 30 years cutting meat and cutting fish and seeing that trajectory of how the quality of food has changed, how climate change has affected everything from water to fish to beef to humans and immigration and migration, you know, and then health and wellness. It really gets you thinking about food as medicine and what are the sustainabilities of the current food landscape. And, you know, so I made the transition to plant-based about 2016, and it's helped me very well ever since then.
So it's a recognition that the clip that we're on, the pace that we're on, the way that we are feeding ourselves is not sustainable.
Certainly. I think that's a fair premise. There probably isn't enough clean water to keep everybody watered by 2050. We really need to rethink how we're using water. We won't use it in the same way. Animal protein, seafood protein, current usage is not maintainable. And so what happens when something becomes in greater, greater demand? It becomes more and more expensive. So I think one a chef's obligation, moral obligation, is to think outside of his kitchen and not just how he's going to feed his customers, but how do we feed an entire planet?
Well, I think it makes sense as you've progressed along and sort of peel that onion that you are sort of stepping up, and you've had some exciting news as of late that maybe we can visit about a little bit later. Yeah. When I think about what my diet is, and I think about my place in the world and what's healthy and what's not healthy, it's tricky because I do eat meat and I eat plants, so I consume lots of things. And then I drive past countless fast food restaurants and am disgusted by it and think, well, how are we possibly creating and producing enough chicken and cows to create chicken sandwiches and cheeseburgers at 5,000 fast food restaurants in every city in America and probably all over the world?
Sure. And what are the health consequences of all of that fast food, right? So the 30,000 foot perspective is that humankind has not been able to consume as much animal protein, meat, ever in its history, unless you are extremely wealthy, part of the aristocracy, pretty much the kings and queens of the world. And it was with the advent of the Industrial Revolution, our greatest strength as Americans was able to produce a lot of something relatively inexpensively or cheaply. This included food. And it's what won us World War II. But now, fast forward 80 years or so, 100 years, we've gotten so good at it that we have manufactured the wellness aspects out of these items at the detriment of having a very inexpensive item to sell everybody. So what I see coming is that the world is coming more full circle, going back to how it used to be. Having copious amounts of animal and seafood products to eat on a daily basis will become more and more rare, basically from cost restraints. And we'll begin to replace that with more efficient and less costly plant-based foods, proteins, what have you. Yeah. So it's not all doom and gloom.
We're just going to revisit.
Yeah.
I don't like to be told what to do. I don't think anybody really likes to be told what to do. I don't like to be preached at or to have somebody wave their finger at me. And God bless Greta Thunberg, but I think she's polarizing. There's probably a lot of people who are sick of her. And then obviously a lot of people who love her and are singing her praises.
Yes.
And I think that you make a good case for, you know, what the future looks like and why, versus just coming off like something that's not going to be effective.
No, I'm not preaching from an ivory tower. That's not my goal here. Mine is purely based on economics. When the economics basically of water, how efficient we develop our food landscape with the amount of water we have to use, will set the price. And it just so happens that raising meat takes a lot of water, and water is scarce. The amount of people on this planet who need water just to survive is really driving this path away from livestock. And so it's really the economics of it is what I see being the greatest instrument of change. And it's always fascinating to see where these changes are coming from. But look, meat and fish will still be there. In the food pyramid of the future of a grocery store, meat and fish are there, but it'll be at the very tippy top of that pyramid, costing the most. And in the middle will be more commodity-driven cellular agriculture meats for the everyday hamburger consumption. But at the bottom of the pyramid, the foundation and broadest part of that pyramid will be plant-based for its cost effectiveness. And in my mind, probably the most nutritious.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
So when you are, your challenge slash opportunity is to use your obviously know-how to make delicious food for us to eat. How do you, do you attempt to mimic the taste of, if we're talking about a plant-based seafood, are you trying to replicate the taste of salmon or whatever? And what are you using to do that? Is there a specific kind of plant that you use?
Yeah, great question. So I'm under penalty of death to tell you the exact ingredients, but they're all approved. Look, they are not very sexy, what you might call binders and gums that add texture, that pretty much create an architecture to hold fat and protein and water in place. A lot of the flavorings and colors are all natural and derived from plant-based sources, but they're derived from microbes or yeast and things of that nature that are cultivated for their certain characteristics, again, for color and certain flavor. And it gets much more scientific. But pretty much that's the layman's terms view of it. But think of cornstarch used to thicken a sauce. Well, if you remove a lot of that liquid, that sauce would get much, much more thicker and create a gelatinous type of jelly-like texture. So there are other similar ingredients that do similar gelling, similar to that in the right proportions give you a good meat-like texture.
Nice. And does it come easy to you to do this? Is it a learning curve like anything else?
You know, I feel very fortunate. Most food scientists, R&D scientists, don't have the benefit of being a culinarian, a chef. So they have a hard time discerning flavor and texture. And they also don't fully understand the end user, which in this case would be other chefs or let's say foodies. So, you know, I think that's very important. That's one of the reasons why I got into the field, because I saw our culinary landscape changing. So who is going to define this field? The scientists at large or the chefs at large? And I wanted to be part of that conversation.
Makes a ton of sense. Kind of like merging humanity with technology, right?
Exactly. You know, we got to get the chefs out there putting their thumbprint on this changing environment. The world is changing, and it really is bright, but it is so different than how I learned to cook, because Grand Cuisine was just that. It was meant for, it came out of hundreds of years of just cooking for royalty and those who could really afford it. And it broke loose during the age of the Industrial Revolution, but now it's changing. And it's really important for chefs to step up, embrace the change, but also embrace the changes that the change is bringing.
Yeah, it strikes me that if we are to shift incrementally towards more plant-based foods, that it better taste good and it better have a texture that's appealing. Otherwise, it's probably not going to work.
In the business, we call that full functionality.
Okay.
So we want it to have full functionality, searing, sauteing, flaking, you know, look, it's, and there's history, I find all my solutions in history. There are, you know, if you go back to the Aztecs, you go back to the Hindu culture, 10,000 years, 20,000 years old, how were those cultures able to survive in areas that didn't provide enough animal protein to grow the populations of millions of people over thousands and thousands of years? Look, it was with plant-based. But we're not just going to, you know, step on the brakes and all go plant-based all of a sudden. And so we're going to have this kind of gray area where we have our diet segmented into lots of different areas. Phthalatic, plant-based, the real stuff, maybe some fasting for health purposes, lots of different shakes and fermented foods and things of that nature. We'll start to break up our diet. And instead of the three square meals, it might be six little meals, but all much more varied than ever before. And it's through this kind of Rubik's Cube diet that the future of dining will begin to really take shape.
Fascinating. Exciting.
Yeah.
Full functionality. I love a little inside baseball there. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on a project where we're trying to make a plant-based croissant, which is full of butter. And so when you make a plant-based butter, for instance, it needs to be allergen-free, so it can't be based on nuts and things of that nature, which are also very water-intensive. Something on order, it takes like a gallon of water to produce one almond. So, but also it needs to perform like real butter. It's had the lift and the flakiness of the pastry. All of that is based on the butter. And so that's what we look for in the industry, is that if we do have a substitute, it needs to perform exactly like the real thing.
It takes a gallon of water to produce an almond?
Yeah, man.
Wow. That's
a lot of water. Yeah. We need to be able to produce more food this year than last year. And each and every year, we need to be producing more and more food, because there are more and more people on the planet to feed. And the demands for the food are greater and greater and greater. Unfortunately, California, which has been our number one bread basket, is actually decreasing its production year after year. So the United States is in a unique position to look for a second bread basket. That second bread basket will likely become more central to the U.S., closer to the Mississippi, but you'll see a lot of those crops grown in California start to migrate closer and closer inland.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, James, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they how can they engage? Where can they get some of your food, James?
Yeah, right now, for better or for worse, Europe is really the preeminent market for plant-based foods at this point. They have an older association with food, where it comes from, what it does to your bodies, different type of legislative process. So they're more attuned and desiring more and more plant-based items. So if you are in Europe, be on the lookout for Farm to Plate and Blue Dot Foods products. Don't feel bad about the United States. We're only about 5 years behind. 5 years goes like that. But, just can always Google me, and my current status will pop up, I'm sure. So.
Excellent. Where it comes from, what it does to my body, what it does to your body. Those are such simple and powerful questions right there, James. It comes from the drive-through, and it makes me feel good.
Well, you're staying in shape, so you can burn
those
calories.
Kidding, but I mean, those are such wonderful questions. Where does my food come from? Do I know the answer to that question? And what is it actually doing to my body aside from making my mouth happy for a second? So,
I'll leave you with this: the world is becoming a smaller and smaller place. What we produce here becomes more and more demand, not just within our country, but outside of our country too. And, we're going to have to start really protecting our natural resources, but we need to rethink, we need to change our thinking about natural resources as national treasures. And what do we do with our national treasures? Do we keep them for ourselves, or do we export them to the highest bidder?
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show James your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Connect with James. I will list all the websites and different places you can learn more about him and what he is working on and track his progress towards, in fact, ending food hunger in our lifetime. James, my money is on you, man. Thank you again.
Thanks. Thanks, George. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the call out.
Until next time, remember.
See you next time.
Yeah, brother. Do your part by doing your best.
Amen.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.